You're listening to Air Schooner, listening that moves you. Hosted by Stacy Waite and Scott Winter.
Souling. There is a mystery about the coming and going of the birds. Albert Field Gilmore. Catch a soul through hollowed bone. It is a custom among some. And birds, when stretching their wings, are gathering souls to hide them among their feathers from crown to nape.
She's Stacy Waite.
And he's Scott Winter. And that was a poem called Souling by Aaron Badhand, who was featured in the winter 2013 issue of Prairie Schooner. The literary magazine reached out to writer Sherman Alexie to put together a portfolio of Native American writing that would kick off the issue. And we're talking about Alexie's choices today on the final episode of Air Schooner for 2012.
We'll also hear from 6 of the 11 voices Alexie chose in that editing process, and among them, he picked two pieces by Badhand, Souling and the one you'll hear next. Badhand was born in Colorado and raised in New Mexico, while her family has roots in the Rosebud Buttes of South Dakota. The Lakota and Eastern Cherokee poet earned her MFA in creative writing from the School of the Art Institute of Chicago.
Badhand takes on some really complex questions of identity in her poetry. She lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where she's working on her first full-length collection of poetry. Here she is again, bringing Air Schooner another short poem called Wiping the Tears.
At my Grandpa Leo's funeral, they handed out rosary beads in bright colors, like blue and red and yellow, and all the kids wore them. He didn't know me, didn't know my poetry, so I read him a poem. He was the one who was always singing. I knew him as a voice at 4 o'clock on summer in South Dakota mornings. The one who knew all the words to Amazing Grace in Lakota. Ununia teha wahu mashichakta wani. The man who asked me to crow hop around his kitchen table to show him how I danced. They say when someone you respect passes on, you stop singing for a year to honor their memory. At my grandpa's funeral, I kept those rosary beads in my pocket, my singing voice in my throat.
Stacy and I sat down with Prairie Schooner editor Kwame Dawes, and I asked him about Sherman Alexie's introduction to these works, where he writes, "What kind of stuff was I looking for? It was pretty simple. If I immediately wanted to read it again, then I accepted it." And I asked Kwame if he thought that was a good way to put together a literary magazine.
Well, based on the results, apparently it's a brilliant way to go about it. I mean, the work that is in this and this collection is quite striking and quite stunning. Sherman Alexie's introduction lets you know that he's driven by passion and by a kind of honest engagement with work. And I think his selections are great. And I think we gave him permission not to think about representation of any kind, but to simply think about the work that he's passionate about. So this selection is characteristic of Sherman Alexie. But fortunately, he's not unaware of the idea of the generational responsibility of Native American writers. And so in his introduction, he positions this work within the context of the evolution of Native American literature in America.
You know, Scott, it doesn't surprise me that Kwame said, you know, those are pieces that Alexie's really passionate about. I feel like that passion really comes through in the issue itself. And one of the most raw and engaging pieces in the issue is called Heads All Smashed In by Stephen Graham Jones, who is the author of 12 novels. His most recent books are Growing Up Dead in Texas and Zombie Bake Off, titles that surely called out for Alexei's attention.
Yeah, exactly. Jones has published many stories in literary magazines and has been an NEA Fellow and a Bram Stoker Award finalist. He teaches at University of Colorado Boulder, and here's an excerpt from Heads All Smashed In.
The boy heard his mom calling for him, and he stood on the top of a car so she could find him. But then the herd was there, stampeding through the lodges, the roundhouse, the dance grounds, crashing through the booths. The boy heard them coming and knew he was the boy from that book, now. He took two steps back, one out of his left shoe, one out of his right. Before the herd could get to him, he reached in for a $300 skin off a wall. He wasn't sure if it was buffalo calf or elk, but it was soft and it was heavy, and he ran. Without looking back, the robe fluttering behind him. In the book, in the old way, the young boy would have to start the stampede by getting the herd interested and following him. This time they were already interested. And the boy knew not to look back, not even once, not even half of once. He just ran, and he could feel their thunder in the ground. There were thousands of them, days of them, coating the plains, spilling out from the east. It didn't matter. This was the way it was supposed to be. He was Blackfeet, and he was running, his hands balled into fists, the robe straight out behind him. From above and from behind, he was just a spooked calf, trying to get away. To his people, he was more.
One of the great things about these Native American writers is, as much as Sherman Alexie describes them as people who are going inside of themselves and sort of exploring internally in what he describes as a post-colonial space, they are also incredibly engaged. There is a constant awareness of politics, of the social condition and so on, even in their lyric positioning. And Laura Da's work, I think, is just amazing in this collection. It's responsible, it's daring, it's troublesome. And one of the pieces we really thought a lot of that we nominated it for an award is Wars of Attrition, which is a poem that explores America's position in the world and the dangers and troubles of America's position in the world.
Laura Da is a member of the Eastern Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma. She studied creative writing at the Institute of American Indian Arts and the University of Washington.
Her poems have appeared in Drunken Boat, The Eye Review, Red Ink, Hanging Loose, and First Intensity. Da sent Air Schooner a recording from her home in the Pacific Northwest, and it's of her reading that poem Kwame Dawes was talking about, Wars of Attrition, which Prairie Schooner has nominated for a 2012 Pushcart Prize.
Mapping out territory in 1984, my older cousin ditched me in the scrub brush behind our granny's house, locked in a crate 5 years old, howling. 9 years ago, I taught her oldest child how to write her name on the back of a grocery list, my hand huge over her crayon-clamped fist, paper plastered across her boxy little torso like a peace treaty as she galloped through the living room. I was teaching seventh grade when my cousin died, sugar gumming up her system like a glinting trail of dried snot. Unable to focus, my mind flitted over the Cascades, past a lake full of tree trunks poking up like rotten molars, landed in eastern Washington, next to my grandmother's backyard, next to my cousin's red curls. A map is not a neutral document. One of my students parroted bubble-eyed, and I muttered, "That's right, correct."
Sometimes you hear a poem and just there's an image that really sticks out for you, and those tree trunks poking up like rotting molars, it's just, that's some really powerful work there. And I think, you know, that's something you see in poets and also in the best fiction writers. And our next writer also has these sort of wonderful details reaching out of the work. Scott's going to tell us a little bit about her.
Tacy M. Atsidy from Cove, Arizona, is a recipient of the Truman Capote Creative Writing Fellowship, the Corson Browning Poetry Prize, and the Morningstar Creative Writing Award. Her work has appeared in Florida Review, Drunken Boat, New Poets of the American West Anthology, New Orleans Review, and other publications.
Her chapbook is Amen Aria from the Counting Coop Press. This reading comes from her short story, To the Whirlwinds.
He had been taught since he was young to run, to rise in the early morning before the skyline went orange, to run in the direction the sun would rise, to gather blessings from the holy people. He had likewise taught his children to run. Most mornings he'd head out when the sky was still a dark blue and then come back as the sun began to rise. His shirt and sweatshirt, his breathing, and his eyes full of blessings. Then he'd go to the beds of his older children, his son and two daughters, uncover their feet, and slowly run his forefinger along their soles from bottom to top. "It's time," he'd say.
And short clips like that, Stacy, really make me regret that we only have 15 minutes to put a show together, because we have so many writers we have to get to, and now let's get to our next one.
Joan Kane is in Nupiak with family from King Island and Mary's Igloo, Alaska. She is the recipient of a Whiting Writers Award for her first book, The Cormorant Hunter's Wife. She lives in Anchorage with her husband and toddler sons.
Let's listen to Kane read one of her pieces that's in the forthcoming issue of Prairie Schooner, this piece entitled Disappearer.
Disappearance, extinction, the inability to survive as a race. These are the anxieties of an Inuit modernity. They lie at the fuzzy border between cultural and biological extinction. Lisa Stevenson. They did not get cold as long as just a single oil lamp was burning. For that reason, the King Islanders were able to survive. Pikungana. Aloysius Pikungana. In a city of seven too many corners, Uncle Strachan left to die in rain torrential, in the road, in the dark. Adrift without relations. Sister 20 at suicide, having left her son swaddled in the clothes of my own, a black snow fell. Aunt, whose court-appointed custodian spent the money meant for heat on beer and snuff and spirits. Unable to grasp the trailing drag line, grandfather with cerebral aneurysm deposited at jail instead of hospital, the police mistaking him for drunk. We hear constant surf. Cousin skids off the road what's left of a six-pack, locked rolling in her trunk. For the sea is very deep. Land's end, Nunam Ijua. Let us set the last stone in place.
You know, Scott, after hearing the political, lyrical, and imagistic power of all the pieces we heard today, I'm really looking forward to seeing that issue of Prairie Schooner, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, Kalani Dawes was clearly excited about this winter issue, and especially this portfolio of Native American poetry that was chosen by Alexi. Let's hear him talk again about it.
The editor says, okay, I'm coming to you and I want to share this stuff with you because I think it's hot. I just think it's fantastic. I hope you like it too. And I think the reader comes to it with that understanding. And there's no question about it. If Sherman Alexi says, I like this, you kind of say, well, let me see what Sherman likes and let me see if it makes sense. It's hard to sort of ignore the fact that the poets that he's published in this series are really, really good, you know, and they are sort of speaking in very interesting and fresh ways, and he leaves out people that I never thought he would leave out, you know, and who are really hot as well, but the series does not suffer for it. I mean, you know, it shows that there's a rich wealth of writing coming out of the Native American community, or the Native American nations, I should say.
Thank you to Prairie Schooner editor Kwame Das and to all the writers who shared their work on the last show of the year today.
And thanks also to Sherman Alexi, who'll be coming to us at University of Nebraska January 28th and 29th to launch the winter 2013 issue of Prairie Schooner.
To learn more about that winter issue, go to prairieschooner.unl.edu. And thanks for listening to Air Schooner.
Air Schooner is a bi-weekly product of Prairie Schooner and produced with research support from James Redd, Ted Wheeler, and Marianne Kunkel. Production assistants are Catherine Larson and Franny Sprowls. Technical support comes from Rick Alloway of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's College of Journalism and Mass Communications. Air Schooner is produced by Scott Winter and the brainchild of executive producer Kwame Dawes.